Everyone, good to see everybody. If you would turn over to 452 Rise, we're gonna start singing here, praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. How sweet the walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. Everlasting arms. Amen.
All right, let's remain standing for prayer. And as we look to the Lord, I'm going to ask Brother Delisle to lead us, please, as we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And before we have our Bible reading this morning, we've got a little speech we want to give.
Now?
Now. Yeah.
Can I use this pulpit here?
Okay, you like that one down there.
I'll get a microphone over here so you can hear me. This is the hardest job that you have in the ministry. Is telling people goodbye, and I'm not a good person to tell people goodbye. Lois and I have enjoyed the ministry that God has given us with you in music and in whatever, resharing the word. It's hard to say goodbye to those that you have loved, ministered to.
Pastor, you're putting up with me for these 3 or 4 years.
We've had a good relationship and a good fellowship together, and we thank you for the life. Lois sends her love and greetings. She's getting over pneumonia. She's still hacking and coughing, but We said goodbye to 9 congregations over the years, and you are included in that. We are going to Oregon. Years ago, many years ago, my daughter lives in Baker City, Oregon. It's eastern, so it's seaboard of Oregon. And we bought some homes up there, knowing that one day we would retire and we'd have a place to go. And there's a little 2-bedroom up there that I bought probably 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and we rented them. And this has been our retirement. At 90 plus, I'm ready to retire. Can't see, can't hear, you know. But we're not going to quit. There is no quit. In Baker City, it's only 15,000 people, and it's out on the desert, the eastern part of Oregon, and there's a Baptist Bible Fellowship Church there called the Elkhorn Baptist Church. Pastor Fisher, a young man, is pastoring that church, and we'll have a church home up there. And this little 2-bedroom, we're going to move into it, and we'll be living in it and doing a thing up there. If the Lord tarries, Oregon is our next and last stop. And by the way, Lois regrets she couldn't be here today. She sends her love to you. We have known you, all of you. You've taken us in. You've blessed us by being here, Pastor, giving us a place to minister and serve. This guy over here I play golf with, and Brother Zimmerman back there, we get together. By the way, I got a 117 tomorrow morning. You want to play, let me know. And I want to thank you, Pastor Russell, for all that you've done, and this congregation for giving us a place in these last few years to serve our Lord. It's been a joy. And our love and our friendship will always, your love and our in friendship will always remember and take it with us. And we thank you, and God continue to bless you as you minister here with Pastor Wesley. Thank you, brother.
Somebody has a good scripture to read for us today. There it comes.
Hey. Dear church family, good morning. And Brother Harlan, may the Lord's blessings and guidance continue to follow you there in good old Oregon. And I also would like to thank you personally for the ministry and blessings you have been to us as husband and wife, and of course to the whole church family. Okay, let's read from the word of the Lord, Psalms 17, a prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were as a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion of in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalms 17, and may the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word.
Amen. Thank you.
I would like to thank Brother Bryant also. He's been such a blessing. He spoke about him and I playing golf, but what he didn't say was that even out there, he is a tremendous witness for the Lord and a good example for me, because when we go out there, they usually don't see a 90-year-old playing golf, walking the course. And when he goes out there, they ask him what his name is, and he says, Doc. And then, Doc, what is the doc? Are you a doc? Yeah, I'm a doctor of theology, and that just opens up a door for him to witness. He also has this putter. It's made out of, it's like a pipe. It's different than any putter you've ever seen before. And they ask him questions about that. And he uses that as a way to witness to others. He has been such a good example and a strong brother that I can always talk to. So I'm going to miss him. Praise God. Him and Sister Lois playing the piano for us. It's been such a blessing. Amen. Love you, brother. Turn over to 237. Amen. Blessed Redeemer.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even while his life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? there's a number on heaven's shore. My tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. Amen. Would you all rise, and we're going to turn over to number 549. 549, and would the ushers please come at the end of the song? 549. Let me get there. Amen.
Far away, the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky, praise God. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land, far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky, praise God. I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, his there's not can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky, praise God. I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky, praise God. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Amen.
I have to make announcements when I think about them. And the one announcement I want to make right now is that tonight, after the evening service, we will be celebrating the birthdays and anniversaries of all of those people who were born or married during the month of February. Okay? After the evening service, I'll be preaching on the Rock of Ages tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Bob, lead us in prayer, please. Amen. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning, please? While he's coming, let me remind you to be in prayer for the sick folks whose names are in the bulletin today. Keep them before the Lord, if you will. My son, who lives in Colorado, that had the stroke here a while back, is having difficulty with his eyesight. Amen. The stroke affected his eyes, and at the present time he's having very severe headaches. He's never had headaches before, he said, but he is now. So he's on the list, I think, there, so keep him in prayer too. Okay, Brother Johnny.
Pastor. You let Robert know I know exactly what he's going through. Amen.
Amen.
And Brother Brian and Sister Lois, you tell Sister Lois, you guys just go ahead and continue to serve the Lord. Amen. You've been a blessing to me just looking at you and greeting you on Sundays has blessed me. And if I don't see you again in this life, wait till we get home. Amen. Praise.
I will meet you that day. I will meet you in the morning by the bright river side, when all my sorrow will pass away. I'll be standing at the portal when the gates open wide, at the close of life, Lord, to every day. I'll meet you in the morning with the how do you do. Then we'll sit down by the river with all
acquaintance renew. You know me in that morning by the smile that I wear, and I meet you in that morning in that city that's built for its way. Oh, in that city that's built for its way. Oh, I will meet you in the morning by the street by and by, and it's changed this old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointment, and nobody shall die in the land where my son going down. I will meet you in that morning with a hallelujah. And then we'll sit down by the river, and all our acquaintance renew. Oh, you know me in that morning, oh, by the smile that I wear, and I meet you in that morning in a city that's built for spread. And I meet you in that morning with a how do you do. Then we sit down by the river with all the friends in the renew. And you will know me in that morning by the smile that I wear. Now when I meet you in that morning in a city that's built for a square, when I meet you in that morning in a city that's built for a square, oh, in a city that's built for a square. Praise God. Don't worry about it, Brother Ryan. We're going to have some fun, too. We're watching to see. Glory.
Open your Bibles this morning with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2. The book of Genesis chapter 2. And I want to refer you to verse 7. In this chapter, if I may. And I want to show you this little plastic baggie that's full of dirt. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now over in the third chapter, just turn a page maybe in your Bible, verse 19. The Lord said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. If you collect antiques, old things, I have something here that scientists say 4.5 billion years old. That was made when you were just a kid. You see me after the service and I'll let you have it for free. Personally, I don't think it's that old. I would estimate probably 5,990 years old. Amen. It's called dirt. You may know it by some other names. Soil, ground, earth, dust. Or when it gets wet, it's called mud. It's what the kids track into the house when it rains. This is the stuff that this whole world is made out of. It's dirt. It's always been dirt. It's never been anything else. It shall hereafter remain dirt. It's exactly as it was when it was created in the beginning, just a little bit older. This dirt did not evolve from anything. God created it. He made it out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. Now you listen to this preacher because I'm telling you something that you won't learn in school. The prophet Isaiah tells us in chapter 40 and verse 12 about God, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. He meted out heaven, that means he measured out heaven with the span. Now, span is the distance from here to here, about 9 inches. God measured heaven with a 9-inch ruler and comprehended, that means he contained the dust of the earth in a measure. Take a pretty good measuring spoon or cup or whatever to measure all of the earth, wouldn't it? He says, and he weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. This earth is balanced. It's like the tires on your car. You took them down to the mechanic and he took the wheels off probably and put them on a spinner over here and he balanced that tire that's on your car. The earth has to be balanced too, because you stop and think that it is rotating at a speed of 1,037 miles an hour. Whew. It has to be balanced. If it wasn't, it'd be juggling all over the universe, wouldn't it? It's balanced. Now, when God made the seas, the oceans, on the third day of creation, all of the oceans, the creeks and the lakes and things were void of life. There weren't any fish in them. It'd be two more days before there'd be any fish. Also on that third day of creation, God made the trees. But there weren't any birds singing in those trees for the two more days. God created the fields and the pastures, but they were empty until the sixth day, when he began to make all of the creatures, earth creatures, livestock, beasts of the field, cattle, creeping things like that. But the capstone of his creation was on the sixth day. And that was man. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Made him out of dirt. I don't know why he didn't use something a little more valuable. He could have made him out of gold. Wouldn't that have been something? Or he could have made him out of silver. He had lots of trees, lots of timber. He could have made him out of wood, like Pinocchio, and then when he lied, his nose would grow. Wouldn't that be something? But God made him out of dirt, dust. That's what we are, dust. Kings and paupers, rich and poor, male and female, great and small, young and old, dust. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 14, "He, God, knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." We may forget it sometimes, but God remembers that we are dust. Man lives for a short season, then he dies. And his body, which is dirt, goes back to the dirt, becomes dirt again. Everybody, kings, paupers, rich and poor. You know what this is? Snake food. Scripture, Genesis 3:14. He said, God said to the serpent, "And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." If you got a pet snake, I'll give you some snake food. Serpent's meat. Isaiah said this in 65, verse 25, "And dust shall be the serpent's meat." Snake food. What snakes eat? Genesis 3:19, he says to the man, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." I'll throw you out a challenge here. You know, I didn't have time to do all the math that this requires, but today there are approximately 7,225,000,000 people living on the face of the earth, alive today. Now, all of those 7,225,000,000 will probably die within the next 100 years. Not too many will live to be over 100. Let's say that we know that some are young and some are old and some are middle-aged and such as this that die. But let's say there's an average of the people who die, over 7 billion of them, 100 pounds apiece. Figure out what that would add to this earth. This earth is growing. Amen. You figure out that's going to be quite a few tons of new dirt when all these people die, and they're dying every day, adding to the dirt that forms this earth. Job 34:15, "All flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again into dust." Psalm 104, verse 29. "They die and return to their dust." Ecclesiastes 3:20. "All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." The body goes back to the dust. How many times does God have to say it before we start believing it? Now, I'm pretty sure that if the scientists were to take this dirt I've got in this little baggie into the lab and do some tests on it, that they would find particles of what used to be human flesh in this baggie, in this dirt. Because we've got nearly 6,000 years accumulation of people dying and they go back to the dust. So if you were to analyze this, you would find particles of human flesh in it, because this is what they used to be. People, we're living, we're alive. These are dead. They live their lives just like you and I do. They died. Their bodies went back to dust. "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." The dead, decayed bodies of countless millions of people have contributed to this. Kings and paupers, rich and poor. Snake food. If Jesus tarries his coming, one of these days you and I will look like this. Psalm 22, verse 15. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, the psalmist said. Job 7:21. For now shall I sleep in the dust. Wake up in there. Wake up. I can't make them wake up, but God can. Now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. So what do we learn from this? We learn that man was created from the dust. He did not evolve from a tadpole or a monkey. He's always been a human being. We were born that way. Now, here's the rub. It's against the law, and we are not allowed to teach what I'm telling you now in schools and colleges. You cannot teach creatism in schools. It's only heard in some King James Version Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches, and a lot of people in the world today don't attend churches like that, so that's why most people don't believe it. Your body returns to dust at death. This is you and me 100 years from now. Our eternal spirit returns to God who gave it. Our immortal soul goes to heaven to share the everlasting bliss of the redeemed, or it goes to hell to suffer the eternal agonies of the damned, depending upon that person's relationship with Jesus Christ. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Meanwhile, the body sleeps in the dust. Job 7:21, for now shall I sleep in the dust. Abel was the first one. He was murdered by his brother Cain. His body's been asleep now for over 5,900 years. That's longer than Rip Van Winkle. And then there's Isaiah 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's resurrection. We serve a God who made us out of this in the first place. We live a life. We die. Our body goes back to this dust. And then God is able to call it out and put it together again into a new body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's resurrection. But God, who made us out of the dust in the first place, can raise us up and cause us to live again. And He is the only one who can. There's not another person in the world. There's not a leader of any other religious group in the world that can do it. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Let me read you this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, Paul writes, concerning them which are asleep. Think about those who are sleeping in this dust. He said, don't be overly concerned about them, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Our question today is, where will your soul be when your body returns to the earth? Your soul is immortal. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save our soul. He's the only one that can. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for revealing things to us that so many people in the world today do not know. We thank You for this Bible that we have and for the instruction it gives, for the information that it doles out to us. And Heavenly Father, help us today to look forward and to plan ahead. Help us to be ready when that day comes. What if it should be today? Are we ready? Are we spiritually prepared to meet the Lord? Or do we need some getting right with God in our lives? I pray, Father, that each one of us today individually might know ourselves and be ready to answer for ourselves to You. Thank You for the wisdom, the knowledge that You give us in Christ Jesus. Speak to hearts now. If there's one here that's unsaved, doesn't know what the eternal destiny of their soul is, help them today to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. to His honor and glory. Amen.
Amen. 404. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
Here it is.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you for your attendance today. Thank you for the attention you gave to the preaching of God's Word. Hope I've given you something you can take home with you and think about and share with others. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, let's see, who do I? Brother Bob, you've already led us in prayer. Brother David, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this time that we've had this morning to look into your word, Lord. And Lord, that question that he asked this morning, that if you don't know if you're saved, Lord, that's the most important question, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that if anyone is here, Lord, that has not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would take time to ask someone, how do I be saved? How do I get saved? How do I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, Lord? And we just pray that that would happen this day. We pray for for the remainder of this day, Lord, that you would continue to bless it, Lord. Help us to be able to be good witnesses for Thee and bring us back again tonight, Lord. Pray for all those who are sick and ill. Lord, we have so many that are sick right now. We just pray that you would bless them, lift them up, bring them up, Lord, heal them, bring them back to us, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.